Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, good sir. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm terribly well, thank you. Yeah, all in all, touch wood, etc.
Okay, glad to hear.
How are you?
Okay, I'm excellent. I'm not gonna derail us on the TV shows I'm watching, but I did have you on my mind yesterday when I started watching that Hunters show I mentioned to you yesterday. And sure, yeah. I'll leave the hunting of Nazis to others. It's quite gruesome. Let's focus first and foremost with the NATO troops in Afghanistan. What in the world has happened there?
Yeah, there could be some hunting here because of what the Taliban has said before. But here we are, pushing towards 20 years since NATO troops first went into Afghanistan, although technically they were international security assistance forces at that time. Anyway, the idea was to stop the spread of terrorism. They were there at the invitation of the government. Here we are 20 years on. The most awful video emerged, by the way, in the last couple of days. The latest atrocity, bodies in a street, two children pleading with their mother to get up as she lay dead in a pool of blood. And that is still normal life in Afghanistan. And the Afghan president, Ashraf Ghani, has welcomed the fact that NATO is delaying a final decision on pulling troops out. Donald Trump was absolutely going to do it in May. Joe Biden seems to have said, hang on, we'll just have a look at this first. And Ashraf Ghani, the Afghan president, says it's down to the Taliban now to show that it is committed to the peace process. But here's the thing, if troops stay, which some believe should happen, they're just there to bolster the Afghan security forces. They're not patrolling the streets or anything like that. But if they stay, the Taliban has said they would target foreign forces more. So if they stay, would they therefore need reinforcing? And round we go. It's still a puzzle inside a riddle,
a
conundrum.
Is. It really is, and it can't be. It's one of those that's self perpetuating, isn't it? To the extent that one doesn't even find an end to this, and it's got to be a huge moral quagmire. And then this snowstorm lawsuit that's happening in Texas. What in the world happened here?
Yeah, I think rather extraordinary. Now we know that American society can be litigious, but I guess first off we feel for the family of Christian Pineda. He's an 11-year-old boy who was essentially found dead in the cold that hit Texas. Remember, we were talking about these ridiculous temperatures down to minus 20-something Celsius, and the power being out, and in total, 150 million Americans affected, and some still are. This little boy died, and the family are now filing a lawsuit against the power companies for their failure to provide power, and therefore heating, for negligence. Christian Pineda was, by the way, in the family's mobile home in the freezing temperatures, without power, unusually cold, although you do wonder perhaps if maybe the family should have been around or something, but still, they're filing a $100 million lawsuit. I can't think that there are too many precedents for this.
No.
Suing over a child's hypothermia because of essentially the weather. But still, it'll be very interesting if it takes off, if they indeed win their lawsuit, how many, therefore, more millions of people could sue because of what happened in natural conditions that they feel were not managed well by a company?
Not just that, Adam. I actually think that it will end up back at the currently Republican-led government authorities. Remember, these guys have been warned in Texas since 2011 about the inability of that electric system, that electric grid, to support or to respond to extremely inclement weather. So this was expected. And also the deregulation, the emphasis on deregulation, to the extent that So there was the lack of provision, but also overcharging. So the Republicans were obviously much more leaning in the direction of deregulating electricity, which, as much as it might not be a human right, does seem a little bit like gouging. You shouldn't have to pay sort of what we're seeing, like $5,000 bills, because it's cold. And I think that those companies may end up passing it on to the very lawmakers who allowed them to operate in this way. So it'll be interesting to watch.
I wonder how much of the world, though, you know, when you get if you get a cold snap, you turn your heating up and the power companies make money out of you. But isn't that just the way it goes? And, of course, in some cases, if the power lines come down, then you can't turn the heating up. I just thought that would be, I mean, one of those horrible things, but one of those things.
Yeah. Can you charge me if the power's not on, though? That's difficult. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then finally, England's recovery roadmap. What are we expecting?
Yeah. Well, you've got the excitement of going to the alert level 2, haven't you? In a month or so. Although I was just trying to compare our lockdown mm-hmm. with your current lockdown, and I have to say that at the moment we're ahead of you. It's tighter here, in
Very
other
much.
Words. But we've got this roadmap. But essentially, I'll just lay it out for you. In 2 weeks, schools open. In 5 weeks, we can play tennis or golf. In 7 weeks, we might be able to go into a shop or a pub garden. In 12 weeks, inside a pub, we might actually finally be able to move around, i.e. go to a hotel, for instance, sometime in late May. And maybe, if everything goes according to plan, and that is the bottom line here, that it takes hospital admissions, infection rates, mm-hmm. it takes the coronavirus to play ball, basically, we might be, quote, back to normal by the end of June. Now, that all sounds very good. It's light at the end of the tunnel. But right now, we're still in the damn tunnel, and we have been for months. And you
I
can
know,
hear it in
I
my
know.
Voice.
I can, and it's so frustrating. I'm sorry, Adam, but I like the fact that at the very least your government is able to give you a roadmap that you can look forward to, and you can hold one another accountable to. Yeah, absolutely. It's easier when you say to your friend, please wear your mask, please stay home, we've only got 3 weeks to go, as opposed to an open-ended policy. So
that's true.
Hold
that's true.
Fuss, as we would say, which means hold fast or keep calm,
but remember,
and carry on.
This is all based on the caveats of hospital admissions, vaccination take-up, death rates, etc. So, yeah, as long as the coronavirus, please, doesn't do all the variants at us, then...
Correct.
Yes. Again,
Alrighty.
Touch wood. Hold rabbit's foot. Spin round twice and spit.
And hold it, hoeing fuss for you and for us as well. Adam Gilchrist with your worldview there. Thanks
Absolutely.
So much, Adam. Stay strong.